And you know, if God don't help us, if he doesn't help us, we'll never see ourselves. We'll never see the condition of the fallen nature of man. We're all of a fallen nature. We're of a fallen condition. And rather you, and I, and certainly this doesn't give anybody a license. Let me tell you something. You don't want to take a license to sin. You don't want to find a way that excuses sin. There is no excuse. Every sin you commit, you'll dearly pay for it. There's a penalty. Not only naturally, but even in your spirit, you'll have to. There's things that sin has worked in our lives that God will have to deliver us from, and we'll have to overcome those things that are in our hearts and in our lives. And I don't think Jesus is saying here to this man, you know, people that are really low in the depths of sin are going to be more appreciative than people aren't. I think we all will have an equal amount of appreciation if we can see ourselves. If you can see that her situation was, she saw herself. She realized she was a sinner. If that man could have recognized his need for Jesus, if he could have recognized God's salvation plan that was enveloped in the gift and person of Christ when he was there. And of course, it took time for everybody to see that. So, of course, a person that is in sin is, if they can be humbled enough, they can admit it. They can humble down and admit it. But for us to have a recognition, there's times that I think every one of us hit that we feel like, God, I still need more help. I still need deliverance. I still have this old nature inside of me that it's capable of corrupt things. I've been in this way now a long time, and I've seen people young grow old, and I've seen people that, you know, I'm not. I still hope I have several years left, but I'm not young anymore. But I've known people that were, when I was real young, they were a lot younger than I am now. Now they're a lot older than I am now. And I've watched their lives. And I've seen that no matter how hard they tried, this sinful nature is still working in them. They're still trying to get freed from it. And our message of preaching that there is a restored church coming on the scene, that there's something that God is going to do in the end of this world. Brother Liniger, by the way, taught this very scripture right here. He used the 26th chapter where the woman anointed his head with oil. He used that as a type of the early church, that the head of the body, showing that there was a type of the body of Christ, or a type of a human body from the beginning of the early church that God anointed back there, and that there was a people back there that recognized and yielded over to what Christ, and he had a vision and a revelation of what Christ came to do. And then he used this scriptural setting here to show that there's a Gentile people down here that in our sinful condition will recognize Christ in the feet members. That this thing comes all the way down to us, and there'll be a restored church down there, and there'll be a special anointing and a people that will recognize Christ and give him and fall down before him and recognize and give him his rightful place. to accomplish a great harvest in the end of the Gentile world. And so even though I've seen that we're a people that have a vision of a restored church and deliverance from the nature of sin all the way to perfection, even though we're a people have that vision, we've never seen anybody like that. We've never seen that accomplished yet. But we still believe it's coming. We still believe it's, and I believe it's closer than it's ever been before. Of course, that makes sense because we're further than we've ever been before. But I still believe that we're getting down in the end of God's timetable for the Gentile world, and we've got an adequate amount of scripture to show that the church is going to be restored. And we have a desire to find the righteousness of Christ in such a measure that it transforms our lives and that we become one with Him just like He became one with His Father. And of course, we being one with Him would make us one with God. Our one, He said, make them one, Lord, as You and I are one. He said, you and me and I and them and us. He put it that way. You have completely transformed me, changed me. Jesus came here with a nature of God, born again. He didn't have to be born again, but he was born of God the Father, but he was born again of man. I still believe he was born once, and he initiated or he started in heaven before all things. And we heard probably one of the best presentations of Christ not being pre-existing that we've ever had anybody present to us a couple of years ago at the campground. And you might go back if any of you weren't able to go back or be there. You might go to the archive files of the campground services at their website, which is gospelkingdomcampground.org. And if you go back to June campground, I think it was in 08, actually. I think it was just a year ago. You'll hear a doctor, an English doctor, talking on that subject that came there with Joel Hemphill. And he is a theological scholar, and he uses a lot of words of theology and Greek and Hebrew, but he didn't convince me that Jesus was just human. That was his point, that he was the Son of God, but he didn't ever exist until he come forth in the womb of Mary. But he made a case. But when Jesus came to this world, he came in human flesh. He was just born of God, and he had a great advantage because he was given the Spirit without measure, and God had him in a garden condition. He had him in a place that he had Adam in the beginning, and he made the angels available to him. Angels ministered to him. God spoke to him, and in all of this operation of the Spirit, whatever people was thinking, the Holy Ghost was revealing to him. He had an advantage over you and I in that we haven't lived in a time like that yet. He brought that Jewish world. In the end of that world, he brought them into that kind of existence of the power of God, that the Holy Ghost would work in in their lives in such a way that it would accomplish the fullness of God, that it the same fullness that it accomplished in Christ. That's why Paul said in Ephesians that we may grow up in Him. The fullness of Christ, that we would have the operation of God that was in Christ would be in us, and that we'd grow up to the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. I still maintain with Brother Linegar, Brother Phyllis, that we can't overcome sin. Help him there. He needs to hear what I'm talking about. I know these brethren heard Brother Linegar talking in Haiti. It was a different message. It's still a different message even among the brethren in the body. And I still think we are to keep our hearts open until God settles us on it. But I can't help but preach it. I can't preach something I don't understand, that we haven't overcome sin yet. I don't see where there's been any overcomers yet, but I still say there's overcomers are on the way. And it's not a message that takes away hope, because I see a resurrection for all the just people that's died since the falling away of the church. So that gives a lot of hope. No one else is given that kind of hope that doesn't see that resurrection. And so, but Jesus found himself in this world in with a nature of God that was in him, but he also had, he was born in a body, and he was in an environment where the nature of the flesh operated, and it worked in him. He had to overcome that. But he gave scriptures, and he wasn't just, you know, just talking, but he was giving truths of what God was working in him. He said things like Matthew 6, where he said, if he told them how to pray. It goes by you so fast, if you don't stop and think on it, you won't catch it. But he said, pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. He added that part. That's easy to say, isn't it? Yeah, if right now you're not having trouble with somebody that's trespassed against you. But if somebody's trespassed you, you may be having a little bit of trouble praying that prayer. Sometimes we just have to say, God, I know I'm supposed to forgive this, but you're going to have to help me. Yeah, because if, you know, I could forgive you. It might take me a little while if you box my jaws. If you slap my face, that might take me a little while to come up with it, Brother Tally. But if you slap my wife's face or my son's, it's going to take me longer probably to get over that. You know, especially my kids. I could take, you know, me and my wife could take a lot together if you start getting on my children, especially in front of me. That's hard to take. And, yeah, Brother McGowan's throwing in the grandkids here. to have that working in us, to have enough God working in you where you can forgive, where, can you imagine that somebody even murdered someone in your family, that you've got to be able to forgive that. You've got to be able to, and not just because the Bible says it, but to actually Get that in your spirit, where you have a recognition of their condition with sin, and you see that the condition of sin has caused these things, and that the only way to find peace, you can't make them righteous, but you can be righteous yourself in not letting that nature of sin destroy you or cause a bitterness to work down inside you. If God can help us to have enough love in us, Jesus, I don't know how he done it, hung on a cross and said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When Stephen was stoned, to look out at that self-righteous crowd that was stoning him for telling them the truth. And no doubt he was doing it in love. No doubt he found the love of that God worked in Jesus Christ, was working in his life. And he was begging God not to hold it against them. Don't lay it to this to their charge. I want this forgiven. And that Jesus saw this woman here with this alabaster box and realized that God had touched her in such a way that faith had rose up in her, that she felt like if she could just humble herself before the Son of God, and that if that humility could bring some measure of grace to her life. And Jesus was trying to show this man. There was another place where Jesus told the Jews that he said, he was healing people that were sinners and people that were didn't seem like the religious folks didn't think they were worthy of it. And he told them, he said, somebody help me find that scripture where he said they that are sick have need of a physician, but they that are whole have no need of a physician. Really what he was telling them was is you don't see your sick condition. You don't see the condition you're in. And don't realize how sick you are. I think that's what Jesus was making a point of to this Pharisee. I think he was saying this woman recognizes her condition, and she's going to have a lot of love because of that. She's going to realize what God's done for her. But she has faith for that. He forgave her and told her faith saved her. But the Pharisee, he did make a little charge to him. I've been in your house. You hadn't washed my feet. You hadn't saw any need to serve me in any way or recognized anything other than I might be a prophet, that people are making something over out here. So you decided to invite me to dinner. But right now, what's going on in your heart lets me know that you don't really know who I am, because you've already thinking that I may not even be a prophet, since I would let a sinner minister to me. Let a sinner come in and humble herself before me. Think about it. That if I could recognize, I have seen this. I've realized that only God can help us really see ourselves. Only God can really help us recognize. I'd rather have the spirit of this woman than I had this Pharisee. I'd rather have a spirit to realize that I need Jesus. I need help. And I need to know how much help I've received when I receive it, so that I'll have the proper love, the proper recognition of what he's done. Oh, Lamb of God, I'd like to be able to honestly, I don't mean just be able to say it. Jesus said this. He said, if you forgive not, then neither will your Father forgive them. He, if you read slow over Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll see where he was showing the stipulations of a restored church. He was showing the operation. Really, he wasn't making it a law. He was just showing you, here's what God can do for you. God can fix you in such a way that you can forgive. Really, completely forgive anybody that sinned against you. You can have enough of God in your life that you can let it go, and you can love. You can have enough of the love of God working in your life that'll reach out to those that are they've harmed you, those in your enemies. He even said that in Proverbs. He said, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you. Well, God may be able to. He might do that temporarily for you if you're you're still in this nature of sin, and you're trying to serve God and keeping laws, and God wants to bless you. He can cause your enemies and put it in their minds to leave you alone, or he can raise up their enemies to keep them busy so they'll leave you alone. He can cause you to people to be at peace with you. But what God's really looking for in the end is where he'll fix my heart to where I have enough of the love of God in me that I don't see what you're doing. I see sin working in you. I see a nature. Or maybe I'll turn around and say, you see it in me. I'm not trying to set myself up any higher because I know I have a need. But that enough of the power of God would work in my life, that I'd get to a place with Jesus, that I'd have compassion on sinners, real compassion, real love that would serve, and that I'd even be willing to give my life. You know, the Bible said saviors will come up on the Mount Zion. It's going to take people that's got this working in them. That this, what's going to make us one with God is the same thing that was working in Jesus. That it work in us in the same measure that it was working in Him. That finally God, wouldn't you just like to have the will of God working in your life? In such a way that it made a Savior out of you. You ever thought about being one? You ever thought about being a Savior? Somebody that God could use to save others. Hallelujah. I think we ought to work on that. I think right now, I think God is asking people to seek Him of how to be a soul winner. Seek Him of how to save others. Seek Him of how do I let my light shine? How, Lord, show me how. How many people have you brought into the church? Somebody said, I feel like, you know, God wants to use me. I know Brother Patton one time, he said, had somebody tell Brother Patton I was there. He came to Brother Patton, he was telling Brother Patton, he said, I've got a burden. And he was wanting to go to Mexico. Brother Patton said, well, why don't you go to work here first? See how many folks you can bring in. See how many people you can save. He said, there's a whole big city here. Let's see how many you can bring into the church. There ain't no sense in going off thousands of miles trying to save somebody when you got a city here with thousands of people in it. And you hadn't brought anybody in the church yet. You hadn't got anybody to follow you in this. Got them in church and made them faithful. A faithful part of the church. Just getting them to come and visit's not good enough. But to get people to come and nurture them until they get this in their life. It becomes a part of them. Yeah, let me tell you something. This is God's order. It's not. This isn't an option. Coming to church isn't an option in God's kingdom. If you think you can be saved by yourself off somewhere, you're dreaming. You've got to have me. Yeah, you've got to have me. And you've got to get mad at me. And you've got to get over it. You've got to get to where you love me after you got mad at me. Sister Terry, she still loves me. She, you know, she gets mad sometimes. I still get mad at her too. I still love her. But I want to get to a place to where mad isn't in me. Where you can't stir nothing up in me. You can revile me and I won't revile again. Hallelujah. I want that in my life. I want it to work, Brother Weaver. Not just words, but I want the genuine, real Jesus to be made whole and complete in my soul, in my nature, my being. I believe that. I still believe you can overcome sin. I believe you can be like Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a peace that's coming, saints. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's a peace that's coming to God's people. It's going to pass the understanding of mankind. People are going to come in those doors back there, fall down prostrate before God when they see it in operation. It's not going to be any good thing in us. Oh, but we're going to be thankful. Hallelujah. We're going to have a thankfulness and a love for God for what He's done for us. We're going to say, God, we watched for 100 years. We heard this message preached. We got revelation of it, and we embraced it, and I had a vision of it, but we never saw it work. Not to incompleteness. But now, hallelujah, we're going to say we're seeing this thing work, genuinely work, the love of God, hallelujah, work in people's lives. Saviors have rose up. Men are giving their lives for other people's salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, God, He's working something in us, saints. He's brought us to a place to even think of these things and to see in the Scriptures how they came to pass back there gives us hope. It causes faith to rise up in our hearts. We hook it together with these Scriptures that apply to us down here. There's a knowing that Jesus is coming in His fullness again in this world. Hallelujah. So, what a revelation. And then, to have this, to read these Scriptures and to realize, God, I need you. Oh, God, just take the alabaster box. You got an alabaster box today? The oil of understanding of the Word of God you've got, just take it and fall down at Jesus' feet and pour it out. Just say, God, this is all I've got that I can put before you. It's all I've got that I can bow at Jesus' feet. And I can take this, the covering that you've gave us. The church, you know, we're the woman. We're this little woman that realizes our need for Him. And we can serve Him. We can wash His feet. And we can give, we can anoint Him with all we've got to anoint. That God's gave us to anoint Him with and recognize our need and our love, our need for loving Him. Oh, saints, if we can get Him to say, go in faith, thy faith has saved thee. Oh, your faith has saved your soul. My God, I'm still longing for a complete salvation, Brother Weaver. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm one of God's children. I'm one of His kids. But I still need help. That's why every time somebody in sin, somebody with sin in their life comes to me, I look at them and I think, oh God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there I'd be. I was there. If I wasn't there, I was headed there. There's not any sin you can commit that, let me tell you something, without the covering of God, without God's grace and mercy on your life, there ain't no telling where you'd be today. Don't look at somebody in a gutter and say, I'd never go there. You don't know where you'd go without God's grace and without His mercy touching your life. That's why the love of God and the forgiveness of God's love working down in our hearts will cause us to reach out to people that need Him, and we know that we could be where they are because we have that same fallen condition working in us. Oh, I can say today I love Him. I love Him more today than I did yesterday. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. Praise God. Come on, Brother Fisk. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get you started here today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. God bless Brother Fisk today. Hallelujah.
That song, help me sing that song, please. The glory of the Lord shall return again.
All right. Shall return again.
Yes. Praise God. Just go ahead and sing it.
The glory of the Lord shall return again. Coming to heavy hope and overcome sin, the gifts of the Spirit, made manifest in me.
The glory of the Lord shall return again.
The glory of the Lord shall return again.
Coming
to heavy hope and overcome sin.
Glory of the Lord shall return again.
Glory of the Lord shall return again. He's coming to a people who have overcome sin. The gifts of the Spirit made manifest in men.
The glory of the Lord shall return again.
Return again. He's coming to a people who have
He's coming back again. Amen. So glad to be here tonight. This morning? Yeah, so. So glad to see God people. So it's been a long time since I've been here. And, but I'm glad to be here today. And the good stuff we had today, how to love one, to love our enemies. No, it doesn't say love your enemy. It said love those who hate you. That's what it said in Luke chapter. I don't know how we're going to get in that. Oh, that's a big stuff. Let me read some of Luke chapter 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so happy about the Brother Smith, for the good job he's doing. I know he's busy, but so we need to pray. We need a lot of prayer because we've got a great work to do. Everybody try to get busy. And the body of Christ is getting big, spread all over. And so we need God's help. We need your help. We need your prayer. And hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, he said, it's an enemy anyway. He said, verse 22 said, "Blessed are you, them men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." You know, human nature always looking for love. That you are always looking who loved them. But Jesus said, "Rejoice you that they and live for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For the like manner did the Father unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak evil, shall speak well of you, for so did their father for the first prophet. But I say unto you, here, love your enemy, do good to them which hate you. And what would you do with somebody hate you? Somebody try to destroy you and despise you and talk about you and gossip against you. And run your name. Hallelujah. Jesus knew Judah was a threat, but he didn't tell the other disciples that. Because if he told them that, Peter was the one, first one would kill Judah. But he knew there was one guy there going to betray him. He says, blame that curse you and pray for them, which is this spirit use you. Everybody have someone always come across in their lives. And when I was sitting there today, there was a scripture came in my mind. Paul said, because of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I have a stone in my flesh to stop me to be puffed up. There is another scripture come in mind. The Lord shall supply all need, every need. So no matter what, no matter need you got, God will supply it. I have a need, you have a need. Everybody got a need. Praise God. But God will supply. You know what you need, you know what I need, you know the witness part you have in your life to be fulfilled. And he said, unto them, smite thee of the one, shake, offer also the other. That's what Brother Smith talking about. It's not easy, you know. Somebody try to slap you one face and say, do you want the other one? But it's kind of, it's something we're going to cross our lives. And like Jesus said, if you want to follow me, carry your cross. Carry our cross every day. We have to carry our cross. And so many things we can come in our life to cross our life, to make us mad. And I speak to Brother Benfield. I said, what would make people mad? He told me people get mad when they wanted something and they couldn't get it. They got mad. Sometimes we cannot control ourselves. I think it's Proverbs 16 said, a man cannot control himself. He's like a city without wall. I like the term they use, wash the spirit and watch your spirit. Sometimes we wash the spirit. We wash somebody's spirit, but we don't wash ourselves. Let me give you a scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Everybody need help. But Enoch uses a term. He said there were two categories of people were in hell. One, a category in hell, and in the paradise. A group in the paradise, and a group in hell. And those were in hell, the selfish. They like to eat for themselves. They got a big spoon. We have some big spoon in Haiti, wood spoon. I don't know if somebody of you have been in Haiti. You know what I'm talking about. They try to reach, get the food and reach, put the food, but the spoon is too long. When they pass it, it passes over the head. They can reach the mouth, it's too long. But those category were in the paradise, they feed one another. I feed you and you feed me.
That makes food.
Yes, and we got fat. But those who live in hell, they're skinny. Because they're selfish, they try to feed themselves. Okay. Listen what Jesus taught in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. He said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. In other words, you can judge, but be careful when you judge. Judgment is a balance. He's a teacher. I don't know if he's a good teacher. But okay, he was a teacher. He's a good teacher too. But we're talking about balance. And balance, you have to be balanced. Scale cannot, up and down. You have to be straight. You have to have straight balance and judgment. The Bible says, if you judge yourself, you shall not be judged. If you judge yourself, you shall not be judged. Okay. He said, and you be measured to you again. He said, why behold thou the most sidrous beam that in thy own eyes? Or how why while thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the gnat out of thy eye, and behold, a beam and thy own eyes. Jesus tried to teach how we need to understand ourselves first. What is need to be taken care of or to clean off from us first before we can tell somebody, let me take a light out of your eyes. Because a beam is something is,
you know, a beam.
You don't have a beam right there. But something is bigger than this. So this is the balance. And we could come up close to understand the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ. And I was thinking about how would forgiving one another when they trespass against us. Jesus did it. Stephen did it. But they're not here. They went back. But we're still here. And the people who sin against us, we still face them every day. So I would, I might have some questions for Brother Smith too. If somebody came in and broke my house for the first time, and I forgive him, I don't have anything against him. I feel free because I like to be free. I feel free. But I have to put a lock on the door. So I would let him in again. Because we need to understand how to forgive one another. If something done someone something wrong, they had to pay for that. Jesus forgive one, that guy was on the cross. Because he said, both of them talked to him. The first one said, well, I thought, if you were a prophet, why don't you get yourself down on the cross? The other guy said, no, don't talk like that. He didn't do nothing to be there. But we are a thief. But he said, remember me when you be in the kingdom, in your kingdom. He said, remember me. So he will repent. You will repent. And Jesus said, this day you shall be with me. But the other guy, he didn't repent. He died for his own sin. You can forgive someone, but they don't receive it. But if you give someone, you free yourself.
That's right.
You got yourself free.
Right.
You got yourself from bondage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But accept to somebody else to get themselves free. Hallelujah. So we have to understand how to get ourselves free from forgiveness. Thank God. So many ways, so many scriptures in the Bible. And we need wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. And to deal with God's people. To deal with church. And so we can grow. And keep the good spirit. I'm still learning. And I watch Brother Smith, how he has love for the people. And you have to gather the spirit of discerning, to the discerning the spirit, discerning the gifts, how it's work. What kind of help can you give to someone? Somebody would reach a place, they would understand the word of God, they would understand the spirit of God, they would understand how to work with God people. But do you know someone would never be? No matter what, how hard you working hard, they may not still don't understand. Jesus said, bless those who have eyes to see, ear to hear, and a heart to understand. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
So, let me say that. One time, Elijah high because Jezebel tried to kill him. And he said, God, how many prophets left? And she tried to kill me. God told him, you fool. I have 7,000. Never bow down before Baal.
Amen.
Let me give you a statement. That's happened to me one time. I had one of the preacher in my church. He asked me a question. He said, I'll never forget that. And he asked me, he said, what would you you see, don't you imagine you can have someone in the church would have bigger gift than you? I said no. He said, I'm the pastor. I'm the one supposed to have the bigger gift. But it took me a while to find out it wasn't so. The selfishness, nature, make you feel that way. Philippians chapter 2, I guess, said, rather they consider yourself, but they consider your brother and greater than you.
And
I've been watching many years how God works. God is a wonderful God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, we don't need to boast ourselves. We need to be careful. Be careful about what we see, what we, how we talk, what, how we think. You know why Ananias and Sapphira was died? Because they were in the powerful church. The Spirit of God was there. But they didn't know that. They tried every day. It's the same day. They lie, they die for their own thing. They have to stop it. Praise God. So when we have the fear of the Lord in our heart, in our soul, and our spirit, and we allow God to walk with us, man, we have God power in us. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost have his control. Amen. Let the Spirit of God working on us.
Yeah.
If you don't understand, say, God, I don't understand. Make me understand. Praise God.
Yes.
God, that thing is too high for me. I can reach it and give me help. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so glad to be here today and see God's work is still going on.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
The reason why I say that, I know Brother Tucker. When I first came in there, the first church they had in, what do you call it, Springfield or something like that, I don't know. I've been there way back. I remember Brother Lenny came here.
Yes.
Now we have Brother Smith here.
Yes.
Every one of them done a great job. But they kind of gifts, different gifts. You have to understand that. Let God have his way. Where is God? When you don't understand, say, God, I don't understand. Make me understand. So I don't want to be criticizing. I don't want to criticize what I don't understand. Help me to keep my mouth shut. Help me to wash my spirit. I don't want to get in trouble. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, Jesus said, I build my church. Be my church. Hello. Praise God. I know God is building his church. I'm the church, you are the church, you are the church, you are the church. Who are you? You are his church, you are his people. He's building you up. Laying the block. Where do you have the foundation? Hallelujah. Paul said, be careful what you put on the building. You can build with gold, silver, precious stone. But be careful of hair. Be careful of light. Because every man's work shall test by fire. I'm glad I'm still here.
Yes. Praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm still here.
Yes.
Amen. The trial I have.
Yes, hallelujah.
You may have something else, but I know you have some. I know you have your own course, but I have my own. Two people crossing a river. Both of them got a long course, but one of them cut half of his course. And one crossed the river by his course, but the one he cut, his course cannot pass the river because it crossed a part of it. Don't cross your course.
Don't cut your
cross. Don't cut it off. If you cut it, you can cross the river. Praise God. When Elisha went to where he got to go, I didn't say heaven, but he goes somewhere.
No. He went somewhere. Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb, Elijah or Elisha?
Elisha. Elisha.
Elisha.
Yeah. He went somewhere, right? Okay.
Elijah.
Elijah.
He went up in a whirlwind.
Yeah. Okay.
Chariot of fire.
But Elisha.
Elijah went up in a chariot of fire.
What, Elijah?
Whirlwind.
Which one took his garment?
Elijah. Elisha said, I want
Elijah. Elijah, let me tell you what faith can do. And they told him, Elijah, right? Okay. Elisha told him, okay, stay here. I'm going to somewhere else. Elisha said, no, I'm not going to leave you. Your master is sleeping. Where that I go, I should go. And then Elijah, he crossed the river of Jordan. Smart the river. After that, Elisha went up, the clothes went down. But I was thinking about Elisha. Okay. He followed Elisha, right? Mm-hmm. But how are we coming back? How are you going to get back?
How are you going to get back? When he get back, he took the mantle of
Elijah.
And he used it as the weapon. He said, "In the name of
the Lord God of Elijah." And the water rose.
And the water opened.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I love it. He got the Spirit of God with him. I mean, you got to find somebody somewhere. Right?
Yes.
How you going to get back?
How you going to get back? Yes, you win. Exactly, but how are you going to get back?
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
For welcoming me here.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
So, we need to do a prayer in Haiti. So, we need Brother Smith too. And you let him go? Maybe. Shut. So we love him. One time I had a big meeting in our church in Haiti. He brought some this guy from Santo Domingo, remember? We had a good time. So we had a. Since then, I never got a meeting. Oh, because no money. Pray for us. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. We're going to give Brother Leon Fields an offering. If you want to contribute to the offering, well, you could put it in a drop box back there by the office.
Wonder what I'm up to. This is Father's Day.
Yes. Let's give all the fathers
a big hand. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all of you.
We've been given honor to God as we ought. Started out worshiping the Lord today. And our pastor, Brother Smith, has taught us the Word of God today, many good things. Touches my heart. I'm constantly amazed at how God uses Brother Smith. My faith in God grows as I watch him work and see how God is using him. Just like Brother Leonfus here today, I know him from a long time back. He's been a very faithful man in the body, and I don't want to just build him up, but I'm blessed by what he's saying. He may speak slow, carefully. He checks his words. He speaks good English, but he's very careful, and that's a lot of his method. His people that follow him listen very carefully to what he says. He don't say a whole lot because he talks so slow, but what he says means a whole lot if you'll get it, if you listen to it. And he followed the message today real good about our spirit. Likewise, Brother Smith, I believe, is leading us on a wonderful way. I have great faith in him because I see he's leaning on the Lord the way he does. You know, he often mentions where he takes a stand, for example, on standards.